Gretchen.
Today's first scripture reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, and can be found on page 1129 of your pew Bible. Brothers and sisters, I couldn't speak to you as people who live by the Holy Spirit. I had to speak to you as people who were still following the ways of the world. You aren't growing as Christ wants you to. You are still like babies. The words I spoke to you were like milk, not like solid food. You weren't ready for solid food yet, and you still aren't ready for it. You are still following the ways of the world. Some of you are jealous. Some of you argue. So aren't you following the ways of the world? Aren't you acting like ordinary human beings? Today's second scripture reading comes from James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, and can be found on page 1198 of your pew Bible. Why do you fight and argue amongst yourselves? Isn't it because of your sinful desires? They fight within you. You want something, but you don't have it, so you kill. You want what others have, but you can't get what you want. So you argue and fight. You don't have what you want because you don't ask God. When you do ask for something, you don't receive it. That's because you ask for the wrong reason. You want to spend your money on your sinful pleasures. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Have you ever heard the sentiment that says something like this? You know, I wish we could go back to the days of the early church, to the pure and simple life of the first believers. Well, be careful of what you wish for, okay? The life of the early church, as described in the letters we have in the New Testament, was not all that great. I mean, they had some just terrible things going on. As many times as we see in Paul's writings and others, his admonitions about, listen, this is how you should treat one another. And the many references he has to disagreements and quarrels and, if you will, church fights, I'm not sure we'd want to be back in that age. There was amazing things going on, especially in the Corinthian church. Signs and wonders, people coming to know Jesus Christ in great numbers, the church expanding, good teaching and bad teaching going on. But also there was all manner of immorality and dissension and trials and troubles in that early church. The Apostle Paul, again, in his letter to the church at Corinth, speaks of how they behaved at the Lord's Supper. He says some people would come early, those who could would come early, and they'd eat all the food that was available before probably the poor folks could come, the people who probably needed it more than anyone else. He says, you come and you eat up all the food. But more than that, he says, some of you get drunk. Some of you get drunk. There were problems in the early church. Problems that we would look at and say, how can that possibly be? The text that we have for this morning describes a problem that came up more than once, as we've seen already. It had to do with how people treated one another when there was disagreements. Let me remind you how serious James thinks this problem is. He speaks of fights, which could be translated combat. He speaks of quarrels, which could be translated conflicts or battle. He says, you kill and you covet. You kill, you commit murder, and you covet. All of those phrases could be metaphorical, and we hope they are. But not necessarily. When you look at the history of the church, the history of the church has many examples and incidences where people, in fact, when they disagreed with one another, committed murder, physically assaulted each other. This may be hard to believe, but in the 400s, 400 years after the time of Christ, there was a big dispute in the church about the nature of Christ's divinity. It wasn't about whether he was God. It was about exactly how was he God. Was he created by God, or did he exist with God? And that dispute, to our ears, sounds, well, you know, that's a good thing to talk about. We can sort of sort that out. In that day and age, people got in riots about that. People committed assaults against each other in the church because of that. The church has a history of violence. It was true. It possibly could have been taking place in the time of James. These arguments, these disputes were vicious. They were vicious in terms of what people said about one another. They were vicious in how people treated each other. And James wants to address this. And basically what James will say is a variety of things, but one thing that's basic to it is this is a continuation. What he will say about this is a continuation of his instruction about wisdom. He wants people to be wise in how they treat each other. And in fact, he said that the real mark of wisdom is not how much you know. It's not even how well you can communicate knowledge. It's about how you treat people. That's the real mark of wisdom. He has said before, the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, and sincere. Peacemakers are those who are wise. This advice, this instruction, is about how we treat each other in the church. It applies more generally, yes, but it's about how we treat each other in the church. Do we have disagreements? And will we have disagreements? Will we get into quarrels? Yes, that'll happen. That's not news to you. It happens. Over here, someone believes that people should only be baptized after they come to faith in Jesus Christ. Someone over here thinks, well, people should be baptized as infants and trust in the faith of the parents. That's okay. We can disagree about that. Well, this person over here thinks that, you know, once you trust in Jesus Christ, you're saved and you never lose your salvation. Doesn't make any difference what happens. You never lose it. Someone over here says, no. That's not what Scripture says. Scripture says you can lose it. You can walk away, all right? Someone over here says, Sunday mornings, we should dress nice because we're going into the presence of God. Someone over here says, doesn't make any difference how you dress. God doesn't look on that. That's okay. We can talk about those things. Someone says, well, you should wear hats every Sunday. Someone over here would say, what are you doing wearing a hat? Yeah, we can disagree about that and a lot more. That's okay. That's all right. It's about how we do it. If we are willing to admit, if we are willing to concede, yeah, there's going to be disagreements. We're not all going to think the same way about the same things. If we start there, then the issue becomes, so how do we deal with it? How do we treat each other? James says that we should do it with mercy, submissiveness, humility, peace-loving. Otherwise, we will have fights, combat, we will do battle with each other, we will kill, in a metaphorical sense probably, and we will resent each other. If we begin with the premise, there will be differences. If we begin with the premise, that is part of life in Christ. That is part of the church's life. There will be disagreements. Important disagreements. It might be that in our eyes, a specific issue might be so important that we would think of it as essential, and someone else would think of it, I don't think that's essential. Okay. It's about how we treat each other when we deal with these issues. Whether they're essential or whether we think of them as trivial, it's important how we treat each other. James, in his examination of this issue, says that the cause of the problem is desires. He has in mind primarily sort of material things. You envy, you covet, you ask for things, you don't get them, and you get frustrated. I would add to that, and I think he might very well have this in mind as well, it's not just material things, it's also we want our way. We want this done how we want it done. And we want everyone to believe about that issue as I believe. We envy, we get frustrated, and we become angry, and we assault one another. Not physically, hopefully, but we assault one another with words. Words we speak to each other, or more likely, words we speak to others about others. James says, when we do that, it comes out of desires that are evil, frustration, about the desires that do battle within us. When we think about church fights, if you will, we tend to think, at least I do, that the issue is with them. Whoever the them might be, the issue, the problem is with them. James says, they might have a problem, but the real problem is with us. It is the evil desires that battle not within them, but it's the evil desires that battle within us. So what do we do about that? I think James has already given us the answer earlier in chapter 1. Remember this? Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. First of all, please understand, please notice that angry is part of the equation. Hopefully it's angry about the right things, but it is part of the equation. More importantly are the two things that come before that. Be quick to listen. I wrote about that in the PACE newsletter article for this summer. I think I shared with you a couple weeks ago about my granddaughter, Willow, who speaks her truth to me fairly regularly, observations about me. And she can. Because, in part, at my best, I listen to her, and she can speak her truth to me. I think we should ask ourselves, am I the kind of person people can talk to? Am I the kind of person that when people disagree with me, they know they can come and I will listen to them? Or more simply, do people know that I'm the kind of person who will listen? Do people know that I'm the kind of person who will say to them, if I understand what you're saying, this is what you want to tell me? Are we the kind of people that others are comfortable coming to because they know we will listen? James says, be quick to listen, slow to speak. Before you speak, you need to listen. Before you say what you want to say, you want to be able to say what someone else has said or is saying to you. If you're a parent, have you ever done this? That's not the right question. How many times have you done this? I don't want to hear it. Either you say the words or you act the words. Your child wants to tell you something. It may be trivial. It may be repetitive. It may be serious. And we just don't want to hear it. We rather would tell them what they should do or shouldn't do. In our relationship with people, we should be slow to speak, especially if it's something that pushes our buttons. Be slow to speak. In that sense, be afraid of your words. Be a little afraid of your words. I remember the advice someone gave me a long time ago. Not that I practiced it, but it was wise. It was good advice. Never forget that once you say something, you cannot unsay it. You might apologize for it. You might be sincere in your apology, but the bell has been rung. You cannot unring it. I remember meeting with a couple who were having a difficulty in their marriage, and it was about money, and they were talking about how they'd been trying to deal with this, and the husband said, you know, I'm not sure this marriage is going to survive this. And his wife said, what? You've never said that before. And he tried to back away from it. He tried to backtrack, but it was stuck in her head with reason. You've never said that before. You think our marriage might not survive? You've never said that before. Those words cannot be unsaid. When we get into disputes with one another, keep that in mind. There are words you say cannot be unsaid. At some level, they'll stick with people. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. As I said, angry is part of what happens. But it's in this formula, it's the third step in this procedure, this protocol. It's the third step. There are other steps that need to take place first. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Fight fair. Two rules about that. Whatever it's about, it's always about it. whatever it's about, it's always about it. Don't expand it. If you disagree about the color of the carpet, keep it about the color of the carpet, not about someone's judgment. If you disagree about a doctrine of Scripture, about morality, then keep it to that. Don't go to, you don't care what Scripture says, do you? Don't go thinking that. Keep it to the it that it is about. Main thing. Remember what I said to the kids? You know, what I said about omniscient and omnipresent? Those are important words to us in our theology and our thinking about God. I'm not sure how important they are to God. But other words are important to God. I'm sorry. Please. Thank you. I was wrong. Did I hear you? Did I hear you right? What are you trying to say to me? Tell me your story. Those kinds of words, they're important to God. And as I've said in almost every sermon from James, it's not about being nice or courteous, although it is. It's about following Jesus. Let's pray.